Okay, we've already talked about meiosis, and slide 8 is really just a kind of a summary, but it's a comparison, as you see, between mitosis and meiosis. And so I've really already talked about all this, but it's worth going through this again to note the important similarities and differences. First of all, the similarity, one major similarity, is that both mitosis and meiosis are division of the nucleus. You don't have an entire cell created unless you also have cytokinesis happening at the same time. But they're for entirely different reasons. Mitosis is simply to make exact duplicate cells to increase the cell number, to replace ones that are dead, for instance, or whatever. Meiosis, on the other hand, is there to solve the problem that the ploidy doubles whenever you have fertilization, so it reduces it in half again. Another major difference is that mitosis involves just one division event, so that's why starting with one cell you end up with two, assuming cytokinesis happens, whereas meiosis involves two division events, so you start with one cell, you end up with four. Mitosis, a cell of any ploidy can undergo mitosis. Mitosis does not affect the ploidy. So if a haploid cell enters mitosis, you make two haploid cells. They're genetically identical. A diploid cell enters mitosis, you make two diploid cells. Well, it doesn't make sense, on the other hand, for a haploid cell to enter meiosis, because if it's a haploid cell that already has just one of each kind of chromosome, you can't cut the ploidy in half. So you have to have a diploid cell at least to enter meiosis. I say at least because there are some exceptional species, mostly plants, that have even higher levels of ploidy, like tetraploid or whatever. But it can't be a haploid entering meiosis. The hugely important difference is shown here in the metaphase of mitosis versus metaphase 1, or metaphase of meiosis 1. This is what makes meiosis a ploidy reducing event. In mitosis, we're assuming that it's a diploid cell entering, and you can see that this is diploid, right? This is a diploid cell. What is the N?
Six, right?
There's three types: big, medium, small. Right, N is 3, but it's a diploid, so it's a 2N cell. It has 6 total chromosomes. But anyway, in mitosis, if a diploid cell enters mitosis, then it's going to be 2N different things lining up in metaphase, because what lines up in metaphase are individual replicated chromosomes. Whereas the same kind of cell entering meiosis is going to have N things lining up, because what line up are not individual replicated chromosomes, but tetrads, in other words, pairs of homologous chromosomes. So there's 3 of those. And since that's what's lining up is different between the two processes, that means what separates in anaphase that comes next is different. Anaphase of mitosis separates chromatids from each other. Anaphase 1 of meiosis separates homologs from each other. The tetrad splits into 2 homologs, and those homologs end up in different cells, which means we stop calling them homologs, right? Once they're in different cells, there's no homologous pair anymore. This is when it becomes haploid, already in meiosis 1, because each of these cells now only has one of each of the 3 types of cells. I mean, chromosomes. But you still need another division event because these chromosomes are still replicated. They still consist of 2 sister chromatids, and therefore meiosis 2 is pretty much like mitosis, where in anaphase 2, what splits are chromatids from each other. And so you end up with 4 cells that are all haploid, all genetically different from each other, and genetically different from the original cell. 9 is another summary, but this is just words, and I'm not going to read this to you. We've been through this, but you might use it to study.
The last two slides, I think it's the 10 and 11 are the last slides, they're really out of order. I kept them in the order that the book I took this out of presents them, but I wish they had switched the order, because it's the reverse order with respect to how these things happen. We've already talked about this last time. Two of the three sources of additional variation that sex provides, the first two of the three, are crossing over and independent assortment, in that order. Well, this shows you independent assortment first, even though it's the second to happen. And I already discussed the fact that what makes it independent assortment is that each individual tetrad, each pair of homologous chromosomes, is like its own coin being flipped. So each one has two ways it can line up. But if there's only one, if an N is one and there's only one homologous pair, it doesn't really matter whether red is up or blue is up, because one cell is going to get the red and one cell is going to get the blue. So there's really only one possibility there. But as soon as you have an N of two or more, then there are multiple ways. That's when I gave you that the fact that the number of ways in which independent assortment can happen is 2 raised to the N minus 1 power, right? Well, if N is exactly 2, as it is here, then 2 to the N minus 1 is 2 to the 1, which is 2 possibilities. And you can see the possibilities here. For a human, N is 23, so the number of ways that they can line up is 2 to the 22nd power, which is about 8 million, like I said last time. Tiny, though, compared to the number of ways that crossing over can happen, and that happens before this even happens. What part of meiosis is this?
Is it anaphase?
Not yet. Anaphase is the splitting. Metaphase is the lining up. So it's specifically metaphase 1. That's when you have independent assortment. And slide 11 is actually happening earlier. In prophase 1, the really important event is synapsis, which is when the two homologs find each other and come together. That doesn't happen in mitosis, right? The two number threes don't care where each other are, for instance. But here you have the two homologs coming together. That is synapsis, and it doesn't have to happen, but it usually does happen that in addition to synapsing, they cross over at one or more chiasmata. A chiasma is a crossover point, and that's what I was trying to do with my fingers. At the crossover point, one chromatid will swap its material with the other chromatid. These are non-sister chromatids trading, right? A red one with a blue one. If the crossover happened between the two blues, it wouldn't make any difference. They would be swapping identical material. But these are non-sister chromatids swapping, and since there is almost an infinite number of ways that can happen, this is the richest source of additional variation that sex brings. Then it's made even bigger by independent assortment. All right, that was a short recording.